morning.
Morning.
That song's a good prayer. Just a closer walk with thee.
Yes, it is.
Just a closer walk with the Lord. Hopefully each one of us are growing and becoming closer than we were last week and last year. And the Lord tarries, next year we'll be even closer than we are now. Always growing in the Lord. We're glad that you're in the Lord's house today. Good group here assembled in the church. And perhaps there may be another one or two out in the parking lot. And hopefully others listen in on the website this afternoon or sometime during the week. All that we can do to worship the Lord is so precious. He's good. He's good all the time. Sometimes we may question, we may wonder, but the Lord is good and He loves you. He's worthy of our worship, our honor, our praise. Just the fact that we can be here. You know, there are people that love to be in church today that physically aren't able. There are people in other parts of the world that if they go to church today, they'll be harassed, maybe arrested. But you're free to come and worship. And give the Lord worship with your whole heart. Maybe pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We thank you for the group that you've assembled. For all who are here today, whether in this building or in the parking lot or who here on the website. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come and to worship, to honor you. For you're worthy of worship, worthy of honor, worthy of praise. For there is none other like you. There is none other above you. We honor you as the seraphim, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Father, we thank you today for those that you're bringing into this fellowship. We dispatch angels to go out and bring those that the Holy Spirit is leading to be a part of this church fellowship here at Barber's Grove. Lord, today as we sing, as we pray, as we seek your face, as we study your word, be glorified, be honored, speak to our hearts, and Lord, may we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, wills to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all in the smiling faces this morning. And we'll start off this morning like we do every Sunday morning. We're going to have a hymn sing, and we're going to go to the hymn. And this morning, we're going to sing page 600, More About Jesus. Short verses, so we're going to sing all four verses. And Tonda, that'll make you happy with me this morning. So she doesn't like me to skip verses, and so I'll try not to do that more than I have to. All right, everybody stand. Let's sing More About Jesus. All four verses.
More about Jesus would I know.
and the people said, Amen. You may be seated. Welcome someone this morning, if you would, please. It is indeed good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I have a few announcements for you I want to share with you this morning. To bring you up to date, we have collected $460, and it's an excellent start for our Pregnancy Resource Center offering, $460 as of last Sunday. So we thank you for your continued caring and support. Reschedule Baptist Men's Day, February the 27th. Well, breakfast will be at 7, and our guest speaker will be Barrett Eatman for men. Jeff, you have anything you want to add to that, sir?
Yeah, I need to see the Baptist men down front for just a minute before we leave, if you don't mind. And cooks, we need to be here at 5:30.
Okay. All right, you heard the man. Be here. And before you leave today, guys, come here and let's talk a little bit, okay? All right. Anybody else? Anybody else have any announcements this morning you want to share that I have overlooked? All right. Yeah. And yes, I was going to do that in prayer, but I'm going to do it here because it's a good way to do that. Let's look down below there and you'll see the new address for Miss Nell Jackman. Miss Nell Jackman, room 308, and she's at the Pruitt Health Center. So she's there, and Kathy tells me she's liking it, and things are looking good and looking up, and so God's blessing. So we're proud for that, to be able to tell you that. Got a phone number there, and I'm sure Miss Nell appreciate a phone call. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to get to call her. I'm going to do that. So anybody else, anywhere else have any announcements? Okay. All right, let's go to our prayer request, and we have several that has been given me this morning that I want to share with you now. Let's remember. Miss Rosanna has asked me to remember that her great nephew William Honeycutt, who has melanoma bone cancer. Let's remember him in our prayer as he is going through chemo and radiation. Let's remember them. And also Frida Honeycutt, who has been on our prayer list, is still experiencing some results from COVID. And she's having some after effects. And so let's keep her in our prayer as she gets better. Also reminded that David and Jill Cowell's family, and Wayne Cowell is the one who passed away. Let's remember that family as they have lost their loved one. Prayer for Rosanna Morton, who will be having a heart procedure this week. Let's remember her. And then I was told this morning about the pastor at West Oakboro Baptist Church, Keith Austin. Some of you may know him. I know him quite well, and didn't know he was sick. He has cancer, and I'm told is in very bad condition. So let's remember Keith Austin at West Oakboro today. All right, do all the others? Yes, Robert.
Yes, James Johnson, my great nephew, and my sister Susan Lee, which is his grandmother, and his dad Mark.
And they're just, do they have COVID or is it?
No, that's...
Okay, it's all right. God knows. God knows all about it. You don't have to do that.
James lost his mother about 6 months ago. And so
it's all right. We'll call their name. God knows their needs. There's no doubt about it. Yes, Lori.
Ted Parker.
Yes. Okay.
Also, Marie Pressler.
Marie Pressler?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Butch's daughter.
Yeah, she's not doing very good at all.
Okay. Yes, Stacy.
Stephanie Woods, make that the family of Stephanie Woods.
Okay. All right, Stacy, we will. Yes, Betty.
Laura Wood, take her name off. She passed away about 3 weeks ago. Leave the family off.
Laura Wood, and we have also Stephanie Wood. Okay. All right. Anywhere else? Aren't you glad that God is good and He knows about all our needs? And He sure does. But you know, He does expect us to talk to Him about it. I think He does, don't you? And it's kind of like our parents at home. Our parents would do anything for us, but they'd like for us to tell them about it, ask them about it, don't you think? God's the same way. He's a great, loving Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity You've given us, Lord, to be in Your house today. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. And Lord, as we look out over the audience this morning, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for all those who prioritize their time. And Lord, that's not easy these days, but they'll prioritize their time to be here and to worship today. And decided today is that they're going to be in Your house to worship. And we're so thankful that they're here with us today. And we're thankful for our visitors who come. And we know, Lord, they are our special guests. And we pray for them and those out on the web, Lord, who may be hearing us for the first time today, maybe in the parking lot the same. We're so thankful for them, Lord. And Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we're so thankful for us to be able to have the freedom to do it. And as we think of the condition of our nation today, and some would even think that we're on the brinks of war, and maybe, Lord, it sure will, whatever You will for us, but Lord, we do pray. Somehow, Lord, we pray for peace and that in that area, Lord, that we may be able to prosper again as a nation and have peace in the world, we pray. But Lord, we know that You've told us that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. But Lord, we pray now, Lord, for peace. We ask You, Lord. And then, Lord, there are those among us, Lord, who have asked for special requests this morning, and we want to lift them up to You this morning. We pray a special prayer for James Johnson, Susan Lee, and Mark Johnson. We lift them up to You this morning, Lord. You know their needs and You know their problems, Lord. We pray for Ted Parker as he is in rehab. And Lord, we know that Ted is needed a touch from You, and we pray for healing for his body. We pray for Marie Pressler, Lord, Butch's daughter, as she continues to have problems. We pray for her. And Lord, with the family of Stephanie Wood, we have lost her loved one, and we pray for them. And then Laura Woods as well, the family. And then we lift up Stacy, Lord, to You, Lord, as she has surgery scheduled in her future. We pray for her, and we pray for the surgeon's hands, and we pray for healing for her body, Lord, we pray. Now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we pray for Your messenger today. We pray for Your servant today, Pastor Ed. We're so thankful for him. And now, Lord, we ask as he comes before us today that You will bless him. Bless him with a sermon that we need to apply to our hearts. And also, Lord, let us always be burdened for the loss. If there's someone that does not know You as their Savior, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will get to know You, Lord, as we know You, as a wonderful, loving Savior. Now go with us forward as we go forward in this service today. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. Because indeed, Lord, without You, we're nothing. And Lord, without You, we'll surely fail. These blessings I pray in Your name. Amen. All right, let's sing a song of praise this morning. And certainly as I go through it, we're working on new praise music, and we will have new praise music over in a few weeks. But as I look at the songs in the book and I think about, do they apply to praise? A lot of them do. And a matter of fact, most all of them we can apply to praise, because it's our job. How do you praise God? Through song. Songs are all through the Psalms, just the same way. Look at page 417, Trust in Jesus. And again, we're only four verses here. We'll sing them all together. Trust in Jesus as we stand and sing a song of praise this morning. Trust in Jesus. Trust in.
Well, it's appropriate. It's President's Day. Yeah, happy birthday, McCord. I think most of us, especially the older ones, have heard the expression, before you start to climb the ladder of success, be sure it's propped against the right wall. A lot of truth in that. Over the years, a number of people have climbed the ladder of success, got to the top, looked over and didn't see anything. Nothingness, emptiness, disappointment. For after all, what is most important in life? Perhaps you remember from your history lesson, Alexander the Great conquered all the known world before he was 33 years old and got to the Indian Ocean and sat down and cried because there were no more worlds to conquer. You know how many people go through life, if I can just get that next degree, you know, if I can get my high school diploma, my college degree, my master's, my PhD, my post-PhD degree, and they get all these degrees and they're still not happy. How many people, if I can just get a promotion, you know, go from just a regular worker to a supervisor, to a department supervisor, to a vice president with a corner office, to president of the company, and then they achieve it all and they still feel empty. How many people, if I can just have a little more money, a little more money, a little bigger house, a little fancier car, the toys that money can buy, boats and Sea-Doos and all those kind of things. And there's nothing wrong with owning those. And now I think sometimes you can get to excess. I had a guy that did plumbing contracting in my church in the mountains. He came to church laughing one day, said somebody wanted him to plumb a house that had 15 bathrooms. 15 bathrooms in a house? Are you kidding me? I mean, he told him he didn't want to bother. But, you know, more and more. Bigger and bigger. And yet when they get it, they're not satisfied. How many men want that trophy wife? That wife that when other people look at, say, man, I wish I had a wife as good looking as she is. How many women want a husband with prestige, you know, a real prestigious job and lots of money? Love doesn't enter into it. They just want a prestigious wife or husband. And they get it, and then they find out, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I've got all of this. I've achieved all of this. How many people start off in politics, and they got a little local office, and or you know, elected to a little local position, and then it gets to be a county and a state, and all of a sudden they're in Washington, D.C., and they still find out, that doesn't satisfy me. That doesn't satisfy me. We climb the ladder of success and still find out something is missing. One of the early church fathers said, you know, God has created us with a God-shaped hole, and only God can fill that hole. We can achieve all kinds of things, but if we don't have a relationship with the Lord, something is missing. Something is vitally missing. Turn with me. We're going to look at three passages of Scripture this morning. Turn with me first to Matthew 16. Now, I preached a whole sermon on this, you know, several months ago, so we won't go a whole long time on this, but it fits here with what we want to say. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said, you could have the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what does it amount to? What does it amount to? And losing your own soul, I want us to take two different directions with that. First, there are people that spend their life looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, where no matter whatever it is in their life, awards, honor, money, whatever, and they come to the end of their life and they die without Jesus. And they're lost. Not just lost for a moment, but lost eternally. How tragic it is when a person can have everything but doesn't have Jesus. I won't try to name the popular person that said this. I think I remember, but I'm not going to venture a guess. He who dies with the most toys wins. And he was talking about all the stuff that he had accumulated. No. He who dies with Jesus wins. All the toys that a person can accumulate mean nothing if we don't have Jesus. We can be the greatest of all time in sports. We can be the greatest president of the United States. We can be the most educated man or woman in the world. But if we die without Jesus, we're eternally lost. We can own $100 million house. But if we die without Jesus, we're eternally lost. Jesus said, what is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? How tragic that is. But I want us to turn that in another little direction. And if you would, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And at the end of that chapter, we find Paul giving a testimony. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run ye that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is giving a testimony where he says, I constantly strive to keep myself under control So that as I serve the Lord, he says in the King James, will not be a castaway, will not be rejected, will not be useless to the kingdom of God. Now, Paul was one of the greatest Christian believers in all of history. And yet Paul was aware that if he did not keep himself under control, he could lose it all. I don't think Paul was going to lose his salvation and go to hell, but Paul was saying, I can become useless to the kingdom of God if I don't keep myself under control. And he uses the illustration before about the athletes. You know, athletes, if they're going to say play in the Olympics or whatever, it's a 24/7 full day, you know, job. They're careful about what they eat and they exercise and practice their skills, whatever events that they're going to be in. They don't just mess at it. They're dedicated to it. And Paul says, be dedicated to your service of the Lord. And Paul says, I do this so that I will not be useless to the kingdom of God. Now in the Bible, there's just four or five little phrases about a guy named Demas. And the first time he appears in one of Paul's letters, it's obvious that he is one of Paul's co-workers. In other words, he's ministering right alongside of Paul in reaching people for Jesus. But the last time that Demas is mentioned, it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world. Now he went from the place of being a co-worker with Paul to being in love with the world and nothing to do with serving Jesus. Paul says, I don't want that kind of stuff happening to me. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to give you an illustration of somebody that I know personally. This person was a dynamic leader in his church, taught Sunday school. He taught a Bible study outside of the church. He was asked often to go to other churches to give his testimony. And he and I prayed together regularly. He was so sensitive to the Lord. And I can look at faces in a minute and see guilt. He had to drive different places in his job. And we'd be praying together, and you could just guarantee it, almost every time we prayed together, he would say, God, when I drove to Raleigh this week, or Southern Pines this week, or Charlotte this week, or wherever he was going, I got 5 miles over the speed limit, and that was wrong, and God, forgive me. He was so sensitive that he knew he was breaking the law when he got 5 miles over the speed limit, and he was confessing that as wrong and a sin. Now that's how close he was walking with the Lord. Things happened and changed, and we didn't nothing bad, but we didn't see each other for several years. And one day I got a call from this guy, and he says to me, "Ed, I want you to call my pastor and tell him to get off my back." I thought, you want me to call your pastor and tell him to get off your back? What is going on? Well, I didn't even know his pastor. I had never met his pastor. But then this guy went on to tell me that even though he was married, he was having an affair with a married co-worker. And the pastor had come to him and said, either repent and stop it, I'm calling you before the church and we're dealing with you. And he says, well, you call the pastor and tell him to leave me alone. I said, in no way am I getting in this. And at the same time, I agree with the pastor. You need to stop it and you need to repent. Now, here was a guy that was so involved in serving the Lord. I mean, it's just like he was on fire. And then just a few years later, his total witness was destroyed. He had seared his conscience from the point that he confessed driving 5 miles over the speed limit to being able to, as a married man, have an affair with a married woman and it not bothering him. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Jesus is saying, listen, what is most important in life is our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Now, the other scripture I want us to look at is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And it's such a sad story that we're about to read. And it fits in with the Sunday school lessons in a sense. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord. In other words, this isn't Jeremiah sitting in his recliner drinking iced tea, saying, I wonder what I could preach on this week. No, God's word came to Jeremiah and said, this is what you need to do. You need to go down to Jerusalem and you need to cry. In other words, you need to vocalize loudly this message. And what's the message? I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon him, saith the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts, of pits, through a land of drought, of shadows of death, through a land that no man passes through and where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children. Children's children will I plead. God here reminds Israel through the prophet Jeremiah of God's goodness, God's love, and Israel's love for him. He says, and he talks about the deliverance through from Egypt and the deliverance through the wilderness and the deliverance of giving them the promised land. God's love for them, so tremendous. And he talks about the way, you know, like he used the word espousals, like marriage. He said, you know, the way Israel loved me back in those days. What a sweet, sweet spirit there was. And then God says, you know, what was wrong with me? Talking about God. What was wrong with me that you quit loving me? What was wrong with me that you quit loving me? And then he says, the priests and the preachers and the pastors and the prophets all went to Baal instead of me. In other words, the word of God was such that they had turned their back upon God who loved them, and now they were gone astray. And the next few verses are so interesting. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see and send unto Kedar and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid to be very desolate, saith the Lord. God says, listen, you won't find any other nation that changed their God for some other God, but Israel did. Now you think about it for a moment. If you went home and turned on the news, and it says the nation of Iran just declared itself a Buddhist nation. We're no longer Islamic, we're Buddhist. You'd be shocked, wouldn't you? Or if they said we're Hindu. Or if they said we're Christian. Other nations don't do that. He says, but Israel did. And I don't care what the powers that be say, you go back and you read the original documents of the founding of this nation, you read the diaries, and this nation was founded on Christian principles. This nation was founded on treat each other right. Now, there's always been outlaws and crooks and thieves and murderers. Sure. But you go back and study. You go back and look at that primer that they used in all the schools back when, 300 years ago or 200 years ago. It's all based on the Bible. Yes. If you hadn't looked at a copy of that, go find yourself a copy online or somewhere and just looked at that beginning, I think they called it a primer, of the way they were teaching the kids. And most of us grew up, well, not most of us, but those of us that are at least my age and older, we had assemblies, and the preacher came in once a week, and we sang patriotic songs and Christian songs. And a lawyer may come in, and a doctor may come in, and somebody else may come in, but it was all uplifting and upbeat and designed to make us stronger, more patriotic. And yet, now, if you look at it, there's no prayer in schools, there's no Bible in schools, there's no, a lot of businesses, you can't even take your personal Bible and lay it on your desk. And we in this nation have turn from God. To all kind of idols. And it's sad. And we are beginning to reap what we've sown. Go on a couple of more verses. Well, verse 12, I read it. Be astonished. Be afraid. Be ye desolate. And then he says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, boy, that's an indictment against a nation. I remember, especially down in my first church, rural community, a lot of them still used springs for their water source. And many of them would brag, spring on my farm has never run dry, even in the biggest, worst drought that you can imagine. It may have trickled down some, but it never ran dry. Jesus said, my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. It's like a bubbling over fountain, just flowing, fresh, clean, pure water. And said, then to replace them, they've gone out and they've dug themselves some cisterns. And even the cisterns they've dug are cracked. Now, I remember growing up, my grandma having a water barrel in a certain place in the yard where the water off the house would run into it and she'd use that water to wash. Now, in my mind, that barrel was this big. But since I was that big at that time, that barrel may not have been that big. But you know, that water barrel depended on two things. One, how much it rained. If it didn't rain, that water barrel didn't have anything in it. And if she didn't use it regularly, it got stagnated. Over in Israel, they have a rainy season and then a dry season. I was there for 9 weeks. And it didn't rain enough to, you know, I used to sprinkle a little water on clothes before you ironed them. It didn't rain enough to iron a shirt. And so, and there's not all the water sources that we have here. And so they did use cisterns. They would dig a place in the rock and channel it so that when it rained, the cistern would be full. But that cistern, just like my granny's water barrel, depending on whether or not it rained, it could be stagnated. And if that cistern got a hole in it, you went there very disappointed. And God is saying this. We have a choice. We can go to him who is the living water. Jesus is the water of life. He is the living water. The Bible in Revelation talks about a river flowing out from under the throne of God. Living water. Jesus promised the woman at the well, I can give you water and you'll never thirst again. We can have Jesus as our living water, or we can man-made our own religion, our own ways to heaven, our own way of life. And when it comes down to the end of life, we're going to find out there's a crack in that. And there is no refreshment. There's no sustenance. There's no life. And it's our choice. It's our choice. The sad thing is, back to the original point, there are people that are climbing that ladder to success, and it's not up against the things of God. And when they get to the top, they come to the end of life, there's going to be nothing that satisfies. And then there are others who are got their eye on Jesus, studying into His Word, and they're climbing that ladder. And when they come to the end of life, they're going to hear a precious, precious summons. Blessed art thou, good and faithful servant. Come enter into the joy of your Lord. I encourage you. Make sure that Jesus is the most sole purpose of your life. And I encourage you, even though if you've been a Christian 50 or 60 years, like Paul, keep it under control, that you not become a castaway. And I encourage you to find Jesus as your fountain of living water. Your fountain of living water. And don't depend on something that you've done yourself. Over the years, I've heard so many people say something like, well, I just believe if I do good, if I do that, if I don't mistreat my neighbor or whatever. No, don't hew you out some, dig yourself some own, your own cisterns. It's, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, you're the Savior. And without you, I'm lost. Without you, I have no hope. But Lord, I sure thank you that you so love me that you came. And that as I give my life to you, I'm saved and have eternal life. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? Is there anyone here that's never received Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior that you'd like to come down the aisle right now and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you're listening over the internet and you've never received Jesus, you can do that right now. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me, that you rose again. Lord Jesus, I accept you, I proclaim you, I profess you as my personal Lord and Savior. If you'll sincerely pray that prayer, you'll be born again and become a part of the family of God. If you found yourself slipping a little bit from the commitment that you once had to the Lord, would you repent? Oh, He's so gracious to take you back, to put His arms around you and love you. Welcome you back into full fellowship of the family. Father, we thank you for the warnings that you've given us in your word. And Father, I don't know who these warnings were for. Maybe me. But Father, help us, help us, help us to know you at the fountain of living water. Help us to stay true until we step into glory and hear that well done, good and faithful servant. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit who enables us to do that. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May His countenance be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.